Now, the next item on our agenda is our advocates panel, and we have quite a group assembled here today. The first LDN advocate that I will introduce is Ms. Ann Brasher. She is a 40-plus years Crohn's patient. She is an autism advocate and vice president of the National Autism Association. It was through this connection that she was in the initial informal study with Dr. McCandless and will tell us a bit about her experience with LDN and Crohn's. Please welcome Ann Brasher.
It'll take me 3. I'll catch you up. Well, there's some brilliant minds here and plenty of information. I am just a person who has lived and dealt with Crohn's for many, many years, which, of course, is an autoimmune disorder. And I managed to go undiagnosed for 18 years. Because of my age at that time, it was much easier to say that a woman was high-strung and a little nervous, have a Valium, and you'll be better. That's what's wrong with your stomach. But part of that was because we moved around a lot, too. We were not military, but it almost looked that way. Every 2 years, move, new doctor, move, new doctor. And for any of us, your bowels is not the first subject you bring up, so you avoid all these things. But some 18 years later, the official diagnosis of Crohn's came 2 days before surgery for resection. It had done its damage and had to have part of the intestine removed. I stayed pretty stable for 10 years after that. Other than, I should have said, the Crohn's did come back almost immediately, within 6 months. I couldn't tolerate any of the medications. And by that time, of course, Remicade had come out. I was one of the first to use it. Had to be in a hospital setting, almost emergency setup, because they were not sure how people would react if there were a reaction to Remicade. I managed to take 5 of those. They didn't do a lot of good. 5th one, I had the allergic reaction, so that meant no more Remicade either. So by that time, and a second surgery, I think I mentioned that, And with the medications not working, I got to the point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And if I was going to be this ill, I would, yes, manage with my physician. But I would see what I could do on my own. And around that same time, my youngest grandchild was diagnosed with autism, which put me on a whole new path and whole new journey. But as I read about these children, their intestinal problems, I could see myself. So most of the things they were doing with probiotics and different supplements, I would then try on myself and I would get better. But when the paper on LDN came along and I read it and I saw the children and I saw myself, it was, pardon me, but oh my God, look what we've got here. And I am very grateful to Dr. McCandless for the informal studies, for the expansion of LDN, because it's truly touching so many people. And in this world of autism with these children and the LDN, and because their parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles have all these autoimmune disorders, it's spreading from that child. If it works for the child, you know, and working for these relatives. So Crohn's, like most autoimmune disorders, does cause joint pain. It does cause fatigue, and fatigue should have a worse name in an autoimmune disorder. because it's debilitating. When I got on the LDN, within 2 days, I had no joint pain. Within that first week, I had no more fatigue. And trust me, in the world of autism, you better have some energy, right, Dr. McCandless? Those kids will keep you running. And beyond that, my intestinal condition got better and better. So in my 40-plus years, with my trial of every medication known to help Crohn's, with two surgeries, it always came back, always came back, always came back, and I never made it into remission until last April. And so for the first year in my life, I am in remission, and I think I'll stay on LDN.
So Brenda Powell wanted to be with us today to give a presentation about her own experiences and her family's experiences. But she did, she couldn't be here today, unfortunately, but she did send us her presentation in written form, and we've been able to take some excerpts from this that would fit into the time allowed. So I'm going to read a little bit from Brenda Powell. My story before I started LDN and after I started LDN. I was one of the lucky people to have symptom improvement with LDN. Not everyone will see symptom improvement, but hopefully we'll see a halt in progression with LDN. My MS story before LDN. I've had progressive MS since 1989, what they call nowadays as progressive relapsing. Progressive relapsing MS is a clinical course of MS that shows disease progression from the beginning, but with clear acute relapses, with or without full recovery from those relapses along the way. December 1989, age 26. I was in horrible pain in my muscles, and some of the pain felt like it was inside my bones. I had massive lassitude, fatigue, double and blurry vision, massive migraines, petit mal seizures, severe forgetfulness. Both feet felt like they had stone bruises. The doctors were not finding anything wrong. I decided one December day to soak in a warm tub of water to relieve my pain. I had 3 days off work, so I thought I'd really get this pain to go away during these days off. I soaked that night in a warm tub of water and went to bed. I awoke paralyzed on my entire left side. That landed me in the hospital and my MS diagnosis came. What a relief. I wasn't going crazy after all. I managed to regain the use of my left side again, but was left with significant weakness on the left side. The doctors told me to file for disability immediately, that I would not be able to continue to work, that my MS would only get worse as time passed. I was diagnosed severe MS. I refused to file for disability and returned to work in January 1990. In February 1990, I had an optic neuritis attack of the left eye. Had to be away from work. I recovered with a major visual loss in the left eye. I returned to work. I had another attack on my right side in March 1990, my right arm and head, neck. I couldn't hold my head up on my own. I had to lay it against something. Went through IV steroids for many months, and I got to where I could hold my head up on my own again. I can still feel the weakness and fatigue in my neck muscles even today. I had to quit my job April 1990 and moved home with my parents. 1993 or 1994, I went through years of intravenous steroids, ACTH, every 4 months. I had had paralysis of my torso and couldn't hold myself up, so needed a mobility scooter with a lumbar support seat that tilted backwards slightly. Spasticity has steadily increased over the years. I was born spastic in all four extremities, and spasticity has only increased as years passed. Fatigue has been horrendous. My muscles from the so-called MS hug, I call it the MS torture chamber, were so knotted and drawn that when felt by the human hand, it felt like bone, not muscle. I've had to use a cane, a wheelchair, and then a scooter. I refused Betaseron when it became available. By the time Betaseron came around, I needed symptom relief more than I did anything else. The side effects of beta didn't sound too awful good either. In 2003, I had viral pneumonia for the entire month of March and 3 weeks into April. It put my MS symptoms at rock bottom. July 2003, I decided LDN was going to be my next try before the steroids. LDN was my Superman. I started LDN in July 2003. I had several symptoms die down overnight on 4.5 milligram LDN with lactose filler. My first to be noticeably reduced was the horrendous MS hug. I had reduction in frequency of trips to the toilet at night, and my fatigue reduced a bit. LDN user 2 years, July 11, 2003 to July 11, 2005, and still continuing on LDN at 4.5 milligrams with lactose filler. My 14 straight year progressive MS has been halted dead in its tracks on 4.5 milligram of LDN for 2 years now. I haven't needed my mobility scooter in 2 years. I never took the crab drugs or navenfrone, aka chemo, and I believe that played a huge role in my success on LDN. By the time I got diagnosed at age 26, I was diagnosed chronic progressive. I'm 42 now. LDN reduced my MS hug pain a good 60%, improved my bladder control, improved my vision slightly in a 6-month span. My fatigue reduced approximately 25%. My migraines halted. In about a 6-month span, LDN corrected my many years of suffering insomnia. Tremors in my hands slightly improved. LDN could not help my slurred speech, nor my hearing loss, or the muscle damage from past paralysis. Note, LDN didn't do it all. I had to do my part, too, to stay ambulatory once I could get out of that scooter, like exercise in the pool. I was doing pool therapy before LDN, but after I started LDN, I took full advantage of the reduced fatigue and reduced pain LDN gave me, and I went gung-ho on the pool exercising. 6 days a week in the pool, no less than 2 hours each session for 1 year. I have now been on 4.5 milligrams LDN with lactose filler for what is nearing 3 years come July 2006. I've had minor flare-ups of old symptoms like pain increasing when I've overtaxed myself or get the slightest bit stressed or angry. I do not panic over these things as I know this will happen from time to time and that the LDN is still working. My initial adverse side effects of starting LDN were numb hands for 3 weeks. That subsided and has not returned. LDN caused extra stiffness in the backs of my legs for 3 months, and that too faded, and the extra stiffness has not resurfaced. My progressive relapsing MS has been in remission since starting LDN. The batteries on my mobility scooter are dead, as I have not needed that scooter in nearly 3 years. That scooter has become just an old bad memory. I enjoy life now. I no longer dread each new day. So that's Brenda's description of her own using LDN for MS. She also writes in about her mom and her grandmom. These are different diseases. My mom was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer, April 2004. She had a lumpectomy. I was already on LDN for my chronic progressive multiple sclerosis, so the very day my mom was diagnosed with cancer, I gave her some of my own LDN capsules, 4.5 milligrams lactose filler, until she could get her own script, which she did. My mom and I had a phone consult with Dr. Bihari. We faxed him all of my mom's medical reports. Dr. Bihari recommended no chemo and recommended 4.5 milligrams LDN. My mom made her decision of no chemo after speaking with Dr. Bihari. As of today, all of her bone scans, blood work, mammograms, and other scans have all come back negative for cancer, and April 2006, she will be cancer-free for 2 years. August 2005, we put my 86-year-old grandma on LDN for squamous cell carcinoma of the neck and advanced Alzheimer's. My grandmother's Alzheimer's actually improved on LDN, 4.5 milligrams with lactose. We were not expecting an improvement, but maybe the Alzheimer's becoming stable. My grandma can, on most days, carry her end of the conversation, has much less stammering and stuttering and fewer mental blocks. December of last year, my grandma had the large tumor in her neck removed. The cancer was contained to one lymph gland only. So far, she is showing no signs of the cancer returning, but it is too soon to tell. My grandma recently started working in her yard at 87 years old. For years, my grandma had forgotten she even had a yard. Recently, my aunt came home for the weekend from Memphis, Tennessee, and my grandma had pinto beans, cornbread, mashed potatoes, and slaw ready and waiting on the table for my aunt. My grandmother has not turned on the stove in the 6 years prior to this, and this stove she has now is a new stove that she's never worked before. We've gotten more than we bargained for here, but it is wonderful that my grandma is getting some of her old self back. Today, all that's left from my grandma's skin cancers is redness under the skin that is now slowly fading away. Thank you, Dr. Bihari. All your work has kept my family alive and me feeling much better. Brenda Powell, Arkansas.
Bill Way has been an HIV patient of Dr. Bihari's since 1990, taking low-dose naltrexone and high-dose, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Thank you. Exclusively for the last 16 years. He lives and works in New York City, where he sells software for Oracle Corporation. Please welcome Bill Way.
Thank you. Did we get the slide or not?
I did not.
We did not. Okay. I seroconverted almost certainly in 1983, when I was living down in the Keys. I didn't get tested for HIV until 89, because prior to that, there really wasn't much point. We had AZT monotherapy, we had the test, but that was about it. Having read the old clinical trial, the 019 trial of AZT, back when the protocol was broken, I read through it and decided that didn't sound very hopeful, so I'm just gonna sit and wait. In 89, I got tested, I was positive. By 1990, my CD4s were plummeting, and I was being told by the best people I could find, do your traveling now, you've got about 18 months before you get very sick. That's when I met Dr. Bihari. He was lecturing at a conference in Florida, and he said some fairly preposterous things, like he had 80% of his patient load responding with complete T-cell stabilization, and no side effects. So I called ACT UP in New York and got some references, and immediately got some phone calls back from other patients of his who said they were doing very well, and he's not a kook and on the fringe. So I met with him, started on, at that time, 3 milligrams of naltrexone at night and high-dose acyclovir. In a month, my CD4s, which had fallen to 390, were at 1,100. Of course, we didn't have any viral loads back then. They stabilized in the 600 to 800 range for the next 6 years. Interestingly, my CD8s rose very high, up to the 3 and even 4,000 level and above. Once we had the PCR viral load test, I started doing that, and mine bounces all around, anywhere from about 1,500 to a high of about 40,000 if I have a cold or something. After 6 years or so, maybe seven, about in 1998, my local Florida doctor convinced me, after trying for many times, that the naltrexone was not what was doing the job, because he said, everyone knows that doesn't work. So I stopped. And a year later, I had lost about 200 to 300 CD4 counts, and the viral load was back up in the skies. I went back to Bihari, and we got back on the same protocol. At this point, he was at 4.5 milligrams. And my CD4s have stabilized in the 5 to 600 range, and they have remained there up until 2 months ago, when I've started getting some bouncing low numbers, like down into the 200s, but interestingly, the CD8s are bouncing with them. And I spoke with Dr. Bihari just a couple days ago, and he's not terribly concerned about that. He wants to wait and see. He said if the CD4s were declining and the CD8s were staying high, that would be of great concern, but so we are waiting to see. The bottom line is I am asymptomatic. I have been 16 years with essential CD4 T-cell stabilization with low-dose naltrexone and acyclovir. As Dr. Bihari has not been in the office much in this last year, I've been seeing another infectious disease doctor who absolutely knows, again, naltrexone doesn't work. And he's been waiting for me to get numbers low enough to start on antivirals, but I'm happy to say I'm not there yet. I'm hoping we get another bounce back up into the 400 and 500 range. We'll know soon. The worst case for me is that I've managed to put off starting antivirals for 16 years, and I don't know any other therapy that's enabled anyone to do that. Thank you.
Well, I think you all know who I am, but I can just tell you that while this conference is about low-dose naltrexone, it's not just about it, it's because of it. For a number of years, I did not know quite what had happened to me, but I was just not the way I used to be. Part of me thought it was because I was over 40 and that I had a loss of energy, but after going to several different doctors and having a range of diagnoses from bronchitis, sinusitis, depression, what I finally got was a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome. And that was rather surprising, and yet it made sense to me because I spent a lot of time just being very, very tired. It was very difficult to go to work, and I can remember going any number of times to see the nurse and just lay down because the fatigue was just so bad, which ultimately led to my retirement on disability. And it wasn't soon after I had retired on disability that my dear father was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And between my feeling lousy all the time and him with terminal cancer, it was pretty bleak for us as a family. And I somehow got the bright idea, because bright ideas didn't come to me too readily when I was chronically fatigued, to turn on my computer and type in the words natural healing of multiple myeloma. And that's where I came up with a lot of websites and a lot of unreliable ones, but ultimately the low-dose naltrexone website, which was extremely good and reliable with wonderful information. And at the time, my first concern was my father, not myself, but I did see that it was used to treat chronic fatigue syndrome, and I knew I had that. And it was, okay, let's see how it does with the multiple myeloma, and it seemed to be doing a good job. And so I talked to one of my more open-minded physicians and asked him if I could try the low-dose naltrexone. And he said, yes, we will try it. He said, you're very sensitive to medications, which is true. He said, so we're not going to try the 4.5 milligram on you. We're going to try the 3.0. And I took that for a number of months, and almost automatically I could feel I was brighter, more alert, more cognitive, thinking better thoughts. I'd felt like I had become just an old lady very quickly, because I'd walk into one room and I had an idea of what I wanted in the room, and by the time I got there, it was gone. So I thought, you know, this is, what am I, an early stage Alzheimer's? At times I did wonder. but at the moment I took the naltrexone, I did feel brighter. I did have more energy. About around November of 2003, I took 4.5 milligrams. Doctor decided I was ready for that test. And it was like somebody took a little switch on the back of my head and flipped it to on. Because for the first time in 7 years, I was the person that people remembered, the person that enjoyed life, that was enthusiastic about doing things, that could remember things. Remember little things like, did I pay that bill? And not losing things. That was another chronic thing, was where did I put it? You know, I know that somebody, there's a bill due. I know I put it somewhere. I couldn't remember where I put it. I'd have trouble finding things. None of that all went away. And I was able to start working from home, which was absolutely wonderful because I did return to work. I probably will always work from home because if I overstress, overdo, I do become chronically fatigued and I am far more prone to getting sick sooner than later. And that's usually fevers, congestion, just the miseries, and they will last for 3 weeks or more. So You don't want to overstress if you're me, but it has absolutely been a lifesaver. I could have never attended last year's conference, much less had the idea to step up and volunteer to coordinate this conference if it weren't for low-dose naltrexone. And so it not only, when I say it saved my family, it sure did. It helped cancer greatly, and it has brought me back to being a functioning human being instead of a half-dead old lady in my 40s. So that's about all I can say to you about it. If you know someone who has chronic fatigue, who has their doubts about trying it, give it a whirl. It may or may not work for them, but you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Thank you.
So Mary Bradley is our next LDN advocate.
Good afternoon, everybody. I was hanging out at the bar last night and minding my own business, and Dr. Gluck approached me and asked me if I would say a few words. I was actually waiting for my lovely brother, Dr. Phil Boyle, to arrive, who stood me up. But I, of course, obliged because I'm very passionate about low-dose naltrexone. But the first thing I have to say I thought of was my mother. My mother was visiting recently, and she told me, "Now, when you go to that conference, wear a suit." I said, "Mom, it's the other kid that's talking. It's the doctor. It's not me. I'm in the background. Nobody's even going to see me." Sorry, Mom. Could have forgot the suit. Mom always knows best. Well, at least last night I got to know the Skips family too. Dr. Skip, you have a wonderful wife and son, so that was great. And I can't believe I'm meeting you, Dr. McCandless. And you're 74. Do you take LDN? You look great. My book, Up the Creek with a Paddle, has done well. It has definitely achieved the purpose I had for when I wrote it, and it is to convince people who are at that difficult decision to go against their doctor, who is very, very adamant that they're taking the wrong step in their health management, to try LDN, because I think I capture that pretty well in the book, that it is an incredibly difficult, difficult decision, especially when you have something like MS, as my husband does, and are on an injectable Avonex, and your neurologist, who with the suit in his office, tells you, you need this drug. If you go on LDN, you're going to go downhill really, really fast. So that's an incredibly difficult decision for anybody to make. And I'm happy to say that those that do make it, I believe, never look back. I have emails from over 300 different people with various autoimmune diseases who have read the book and were really touched by it and made up their own mind to educate themselves and try the drug. Now, the results are astounding, because there's this whole spectrum of immune disorders that aren't even named or labeled. People are just sick and they don't know why they're sick. And it's something in their immune system, and they try this LDN and suddenly they're getting their lives back, but they don't know what they're getting their lives back from even. With the there are so many beautiful stories relating to MS in particular. Overall, I would say with MS, in my experience, about one third of the people have remarkable life-changing experiences. They try it and within a week they get rid of their crutches, they're out of a wheelchair, or something remarkable happens to them. There's another third that take it and they, you know, they're not sure, you know, do I feel good? You know, but everybody else tells them, you know, you look great, what are you doing? But they're not sure. And then there's another third who really don't notice any difference. But over a period of, say, a year, they realize, wow, I actually haven't got any worse. So, you know, it's everybody does seem to react differently. There are some side effects that I think, as the numbers increase, we're beginning to see more of. But I still think they're minimum and absolutely very minimum compared to the standard drugs that are out there for multiple sclerosis. My husband, Noel, thank God, continues to thrive. He's on it now. He's on LDN 4.5 milligrams since September 2002, and he was deteriorating rapidly. And he really got LDN in the nick of time, whereby he can still live a very full functional life. He may not look like a poster child for LDN because he has his cane, and when we're out and about, he has his wheelchair. But he is the perfect poster child because he stopped progressing, and he can still live a very full independent life. with our three lovely kids. So, and he's at home minding them at the moment. Thanks, Noel. There are other ones. A friend of mine, the lady to whom I dedicated the book, her mother read the book and tried LDN for COPD. Is that the right one? And she has got more energy than she has had in years and completely believes that LDN is the reason for that and is eternally grateful. My uncle has Parkinson's. He was visiting me recently with my mom. My mom, dad, Annie, and Nilis were all over visiting, the usual gang. And he has Parkinson's. And when he got off the plane, I looked at him and I thought, you know, I don't know if it's working for him. He looked tired. He was stressed. He's working 12 hours a day. So obviously, I'm beginning to think that the stress possibly counteracts the effect of the LDN. When he was here after about a week, we went out for dinner, and I would not have known that he had Parkinson's at the day. I was really I overanalyze. I'm like, every single move, they're so paranoid. And then they're even more paranoid that whatever they say, I'm going to write in a book. It's great. But I'm thinking his shake is definitely confined to the initial areas where it was 4 years ago. There's still a question mark because Parkinson's progresses slower than MS. So does it work as well for Parkinson's? I cannot say at this moment. We had a consult with Dr. Bahari and the question mark is still there, but the bottom line was to stay on it until you're absolutely sure it's not work. And we're definitely, I'd have to say overall, it's doing something for him. You know, it's Parkinson's, it has not progressed beyond the initial, the shake, the tremor hasn't gone anywhere new, but the existing tremor, I think, under stress is worse. My mom with her breast cancer, she was on LDN and her breast cancer came back. It spread to the bone. So that was a devastating blow because, you know, I saw how well LDN worked for Noel. My mom started it. My world was saved. Nobody was ever going to get sick again. So it's a devastating blow when you have your heart set on it being so great. And then she calls and she's like, Mary, it's in the bone. What do you mean it's in the bone? You're on LDN. It can't be. But yes, it did come back. She went through all the standard treatment. She went through the radiation and chemotherapy, and she's just started back on the LDN again when she was here because I refused to give up on it. Like, now, she has done everything right by her own doctors at home. There is no other treatment for her. And there is a theory that possibly, and maybe I'm just holding on to this because I need to, when she was on the LDN and the cancer came back, she was on the LDN with the calcium carbonate filler, which some people on various websites have argued can be compacted too tight and make the drug slow release. So now she is on LDN 4.5 lactose filler, which I've been assured cannot be compacted anyway. Whatever way she's taking it, she's definitely going to get it fast release. And I'm desperately hoping, again, realistically this time having learned, but I'm really hoping that this time it will keep her stable. And she looks amazing. I mean, she looks remarkable. She looks younger than me. Then there's me on LDN, the hypochondriac here, wondering, I was on it. I started on it. I went to a consult with Dr. Bahari, and he knows my mom's history, and he knows my uncle has Parkinson's, and he's like, you know, don't mess around. Take it as a preventative. You know, I said, all right, give me a bottle, 4.5 milligrams. So I start popping it, and I'm like the Energizer Bunny. I felt great. My nails are growing really fast. My hair's growing really fast. You know, I'm really there. That switch was, the lever went on. Now, that was great. And I never really got sick in it, but I have actually stopped taking it. I stopped taking it about 2 months ago. So imagine what I was like then. But I stopped taking it because I want to see what we really know about it, because we really don't know what we're playing. And the more I'm learning about LDN, the more I know that we don't know. Do we really know the mechanism? How safe is it to take as a preventative? If nothing's wrong with me, should I wait for a diagnosis? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm hoping when the doctors come up here, they can give some advice as to what would your feeling be taking it as a preventative? And then the other thing is, like, if I get a call and it's like, well, Mary, you really should have been on the LDN. You would never have got that. Like, you've got this dreadful illness or something. I don't know, but it's a great medicine for a hypochondriac. and I have a mouthful of mercury. I mean, do I take the LDN to combat that, or do I get the cavity? Do you really think? Oh, God. I see I'm a bad patient, too. But I have the, you know, that big question mark over whether or not I should be taking it preventively. So my conclusion would be that, as it was last year, that Dr. Bahari has absolutely, without question, discovered something worthy of the Nobel Prize. I cannot thank the man enough for all the lives he has changed that I know directly and indirectly, thanks to the internet, and what a wonderful tool that has proved to be, because that seems to be the way this whole movement is spreading. People are realizing, you know, we're not crazy. There's something here. What is it? How it works? How good is it? Whatever it is, we know that it's great. How great, we don't know. And my tactic to get people to listen, I mean, I've given up on celebrities. They just don't listen. It's going to be very hard to get into the pharmaceutical companies, the government, all of that. And it's not that there's a conspiracy against LDN. They don't need a conspiracy. The system is set up so perfectly that, you know, we're just like idiots banging against this big wooden building that nobody's going to, you know, they don't have to open the door, so they won't. So my latest tactic is I'm actually going to write a second book, a fun one, because I got a great reaction today, Up the Creek with a Paddle. People enjoyed the story, even if they weren't directly affected by some horrible illness. So I thought I'd write one that's funny, you know, in line with Desperate Housewives, because I have a wonderful group of women who I think are much funnier than Desperate Housewives. And I'm finishing up the script, and this time I'm going to look for a better agent. And in the book, someone is going to get MS, which actually has happened. A really good friend of one of my Desperate Housewives did get MS and did try LDN, and it has completely stabilized her. So that will be the link to the LDN cause in the second book. But that's my latest attempt to keep me sane and to get the word out there. So that's it, folks. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Glock. Thank you, Joel. And thank you, Susie. My goodness, all the work you've put into this all year. Lovely to see everybody. And I'll walk over here in my jeans.
So we're going to take questions for the panel for about 15 minutes, and then we're going to be breaking for lunch. And panel, please turn on your microphone so that you can respond. Yeah.
Bill, thank you so much for speaking to us. You happen to be the first representative in two whole conferences who spoke about the HIV issue, and so successfully. Can you tell us, in your experience of visiting at Dr. Bahari's office, whether you found colleagues in similar situations who, for a long period of time, without adjuvants beyond the acyclovir, have been successful in treating their HIV?
Yeah, I know personally about I know personally about six people who are doing very badly at some point on antivirals. Most of them, this goes back a ways, when we were on AZT monotherapy, which really had a very, very limited useful span. There was one man in Key West who had gone to a friend of mine who was a rheumatologist saying, tell me how I can kill myself, because his quality of life was completely gone. And he went to see Dr. Bahari in, I'm guessing, the mid-90s, and proceeded to have 5 years of fairly robust health, starting on low-dose naltrexone and modifying the antivirals he was on. I know of a number of other people who have gone to him and just report wonderful, wonderful health and remain asymptomatic and generally show complete T-cell stabilization and a workable viral load if they're not on antivirals. If they are on antivirals, it's generally unmeasurable, of course. But I know personally quite a few.
Thank you, Bill. In that regard, I have to tell the group here that another phenomenon that is at the doorstep of LDN and no place else is its ability to, I think it's close to 100%, prevent the complication from the antiretrovirals of the fat-distorting side effect called lipodystrophy. If you're on LDN and you take antiretrovirals, you don't risk that 30, maybe 40% chance of coming down with lipodystrophy. It's completely preventable by taking the low-dose naltrexone. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm an obstetrician gynecologist. My reason for being here today is I have a book. It's called Avoiding Breast Cancer While Balancing Your Hormones. I'm very interested in stopping breast cancer. And I'm really interested in those women who are breast cancer survivors and are on LDN. Your mom, was she estrogen receptor positive or negative, Mary?
What's she feel?
Negative. Yes, I've read where negative, that positive responds better to endorphins than negative. And that's why I was wondering. So I'm interested in anybody's feedback on their experience with breast cancer survivors, but I was just wondering if she was negative or not, because it seems that the estrogen receptor positive responds more to endorphin therapy than negative. So that kind of ties into what your mom experienced, it seems to me.
Right. That's interesting. Thank you.
Well, I'm a 10-year survivor, I can tell you that. Of course, I wasn't on LDN then. It was hormone receptive.
You're speaking to the microphone.
Thought I was. I am a 10-year cancer survivor of breast cancer. I was, of course, was not on LDN then, only in the last year, and have Crohn's.
Were you positive?
Mine was hormone receptive. I can tell you that I'm completely clear, my Crohn's is better, all these things, but in that, even in that 10-year span, no matter when I had blood work done, the CBC, the tumor markers, etc., my white blood cell count was always elevated, never anywhere near normal. I started LDN last April, and I did go back to the oncologist in December. I had the first normal CBC that I can remember. And he went ahead and released me 4 months early of the 10 years and said, you don't need to come see me anymore.
You know,
so I think all the way around, LDN's a good thing.
I mentioned breast cancer, but there is that large group of men out there with prostate cancer who, in my clinical experience, has been, you know, very favorable. Even though I'm a gynecologist, I think, you know, men need a good male gynecologist every once in a while to look at them. And especially with male menopause on the upswing. But they have a very favorable response to prostate cancer. And if anybody in the audience has had any, you know, clinical experience with that, I would be very happy to listen to after the program or any time.
First, I want to thank everybody on this panel. Your stories are truly remarkable and inspiring. Thank you very much. This is a question for Anne concerning your Crohn's disease. What dosage are you currently taking, and are there any other medications that you're taking, such as steroids?
I'm on nothing for Crohn's other than LDN.
And what's the dosage that you're on?
Pardon me?
The dosage?
4.5 transdermal.
So you're going to stay on it, basically?
Oh, yeah. I will stay on it. I take nutrients, vitamins, amino acids. Glutamine seems to help the lining of the gut. All natural things.
Were you ever on steroids before?
Oh, yeah. 6 months at a time. Start at 60 milligrams. They're very difficult to be on and live with, and it was not the answer. It would fool my body for a while, but that was about it, and it was very hard emotionally to take steroids.
But just a final question. So your GI doctor is the one who's taking care of this?
Mm-mm. Nobody's aware of it. And he is. And he knows that I have gone in an alternative direction and supports me, which is a good thing. I think the most interesting thing was he, last time I was in there, said, are you still taking those probiotics? Good gut bacteria. And I said, well, yes. And he said, in the time before I had mentioned them, and it was kind of poopy, you've been on that internet too much. And I said, well, I read it on the CCFA.org, which is the Crohn's Colitis Foundation of America, of which I believe you're a member. So, and it was saying probiotics was a good thing for Crohn's. So the next time he asked me, are you still doing all that, and gave me some samples. So he's on my side. He just wants me well like I want to be well.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rosalind Airy. I have a question for Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
I read your book. I have MS. I've been on LDN for about 2 years. I was hoping to see Dr. Bihari as I came out to New York last week, but he's not available. I know that you have a lot of contact with a lot of people over the internet, and I was wondering, I can't quite remember, towards the end of the book, I have a few brain holes that help with that. I can't quite remember, there was some point at which I think you said that Noel did have a relapse or something while he was on LDN. And while I'm a great fan of LDN, I believe that in over the two-year period that I have had some deterioration. While I don't have classic relapses, because I'm diagnosed as secondary progressive at this point anyway, I have deteriorated. Now, I've listened to some very interesting things, especially from Dr. McCandless. I am a speech and language pathologist and therapist, so I found the autism talk very interesting. And I'm wondering now about the transdermal. Anyway, what my question really is that have people that have been taking LDN long term, have you noticed that it kind of loses effectiveness over time?
No, I haven't noticed that it loses. I have noticed that in times of stress, the LDN effect does seem to be somewhat blocked or reduced. Never. I think that was what happened with the relapse Noel had.
Did he have new symptoms at that time?
No.
Or was it just a resurgence of old stuff?
Old symptoms came back with an increased vengeance.
Right.
But nothing brand new.
So you class that as the relapse in itself?
Yeah, I think it was. And it was at an incredibly stressful time.
Right.
And as time passed and the stress subsided, mm-hmm. and we at the same time also switched to the lactose filler because all of this was going on about all the calcium maybe making it slow release, and we tried everything because it was such an experimental stage with the drug. But
has he played with his dose at all? Has he gone up or down? Have you tried that?
No, he's been 4.5 consistently.
Okay.
The only thing we changed from his initial start was the filler. We moved from calcium to lactose, which it's debated if that ever made any sort of a difference, because there are people with the calcium carbonate filler who have never had any issue. So that could be just be nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe I could add something to that in the sense that I'm a Dr. Crowley from Ireland and I'm treating a lot of MS patients. And the lady sounds as if she's from England, but Dr. Bob Lawrence.
I am. I'm from Great Britain, but I live in Greece.
Live in Greece.
I've come a long way for this conference.
I love Greece.
Right. Well, Dr. Bob Lawrence, who, in my opinion, is, of course, the authority in Britain on this subject, and who was at the conference here last year, and those who were there will remember that he, for years, had been getting patients to skip a couple of days every 10 days or so, so that the body would then prime itself over and over again, because his idea was perhaps that there would be the body would get used to the situation and maybe then it wouldn't be as effective and so on. Now, at the conference last year, he kind of rescinded that view and said that maybe that wasn't possible. But my own experience is that it is no harm to stop it for a day or two every 3 weeks or so. For that kind of reason, it doesn't do any harm, and it may do some good, because I have no absolute proof of this, but Bob Lawrence had this opinion for years that you did need to stop it on a regular enough basis. He's not as strong in that view anymore, but the reason was that it would then hold its therapeutic.
Yeah, I remember that whole thing. But it's a scary thing then what he said for those that did go off it. When all their symptoms came back. And I think the argument ended at last year's conference was, if they come off it for a couple of days, is the damage, are they progressing but they can't see it?
No, I don't think that was at all the conclusion. No, I don't. And it was only for a day or two that they would come off it.
They would come off for a day or two.
Symptoms don't come back in that time, that's for sure.
No, the symptoms didn't. But he, when I was speaking to him, I thought implied that he wasn't sure when the patients came off it, although the symptoms didn't come back, was the damage starting to being done in the background.
No, I don't think
and
he believes that.
And that's why I thought he said
no, I don't think
he doesn't
that.
Recommend coming off no, it anymore.
No, I don't think he believes that. And I spoke to him about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I haven't spoken to him in
length,
a year.
I spoke to him at length one night, and he still believes that, you know, to have small cessations. Of course, this varies. You've got to remember that people, there are different weights.
Yeah.
And the half-life of the particular drug, you're talking about 4 small doses, 3 and 4.5 milligrams. And, you know, in different weights of patients, it may accumulate. So you have to take each patient. This is where your own doctor, if you're dealing with somebody who will use the naltrexone, will become familiar with your case. And then
that's the whole question with it. Is the dose? You see, that was so interesting about your work, that when they came off, the benefits are still there. You know, that's fascinating. I mean, Dr. Glock, with an MS patient, what do you think the risks are of them coming off it?
I know that Dr. Bihari is quite set against it. Quite set against it. He makes an analogy to taking somebody who's a diabetic and needs daily insulin to go off it for a day or two. No, never. And Bob Lawrence absolutely told our group last year that he realizes that there really was no argument for going off it. The very nature of low-dose naltrexone is that it's active for only 3 or 4 hours each night. So that you're going through a day of 21 hours essentially without any active naltrexone in your system. So it doesn't require going off whatsoever. The Crohn's is a different disease in the sense that I don't know that there's an average Crohn's patient, and I think Dr. Smith could speak to that, but it's analogous to MS in that somebody could have a run of Crohn's disease where they go for 6 months and problems are not heard of, and then it comes back a little bit. There's a whole spectrum of Crohn's disease. So it's on that background, when you stop the LDN and they've already improved, there's some indeterminate amount of time before the symptoms will be seen again.
Yeah.
I don't know that the LDN is still working. It's just that they're not having an attack. Dr. Smith wants to say.
Yeah, before we continue the Q&A, so we're just about at our original time. We were going to take lunch, and we want to try to get back on our time schedule. So what I'm going to suggest is let's do a couple more Q&A, and then take lunch, and we'll try to come back on the original timing, which is to be back at 1:45, okay? So please go ahead.
I just had a question about the fillers. As many of you may know, most patients with Crohn's disease have lactose intolerance. And then hearing what Dr. McCarla said about the autism patients being sensitive to gluten and other dietary antigens, when we did our study, we specifically did not use lactose as a filler, but we used sucrose. So there may be a reason for trying different fillers, and I don't know if maybe you can improve the efficacy of naltrexone by using a lactose-free type of filler. And maybe we'll hear more about that from the pharmacist this afternoon. But thank you.
I have a question for Mary. First, let me say how deeply impressed I am by your Irish wit and fighting spirit. As to your identity as a hypochondriac, have you heard about the epitaph of the hypochondriac?
I love epitaphs. I told you I was sick. Sorry.
That's it.
Oh, is it?
That's it.
Oh.
I told them I was sick.
That's scary. Oh, dear, this is being filmed.